with all the turbulence around you now, and the suffering you are going through. Try to focus on the words Christ said. He is trying to get through to you. Know his voice that is leading to the door of heaven. Oh, hear and receive words of truth that you
to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today for the Word of God that leads us to Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for salvation bought and paid for by your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for so many blessings. I thank you for the opportunity to preach one more time. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease that only you can give, that your Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives in here, old and young, and that you'd have your way. Get honor and glory to your own name. Give me help that only your Spirit can give. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you that know me know I'm a very punctual man. In fact, I'm more than punctual. I'm always early. It's one of the frustrations my wife has with me is that I always want to be too early. And she says, no, you don't go in. If they invite you at 7, you don't go in at 6:30. No, you can't get there at 6:45. You have to wait till 7. But then I've had a lot of flats. You ever had a flat? They take time. I've had a lot of Traffic jams. You ever got in a traffic jam? They take time. I leave early. I'm always early. So I drive around looking at the neighborhood until it comes to the right time to walk into the house. And even then, she sometimes thinks I'm too early. This is a frustration I have. And some of you tease me about it. I mean, if I am ever late, do I catch it? I mean, you don't let me live it down for a month or two. I was a missionary in Guatemala between the years of 1966 and 69, about 3 years. I had a couple of young men I'd led to the Lord, and they were graduating from the university. I took my wife and my 3 kids, and we had a printed invitation from a university in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. And I believe, if I remember right, it was 7 o'clock. The ceremony for graduation was going to be 7 o'clock. And so we got there about 6:45. And we sat down, but nobody else was there. It was me and my wife and my 3 kids. And my 3 kids are fidgeting and whatever. You know, come on, be still. Okay, you know, wait on, it's going to come up. We sat there till 8 o'clock. I was early. I kept looking at the thing. Did I read it wrong? You know, I didn't read it wrong. It was 8 o'clock. The place was about half full. I said, I have honored these guys enough. I got here early and I've been here an hour and 15 minutes. I'm leaving. As I was walking down the steps to the front of this big coliseum, my 2 young men are walking in. They're graduating tonight. Hey, Brother Kincaid, Sister Verlene. So good to see you. Glad you came to our graduation. I said, when is it going to start? Oh, anytime. Anytime. I said, well, I've been here since 6:45. So I've given you my honor. I'm leaving. And I walked away. Because I live by gringo time. I think it's a dishonor to the people who come early to hold a church service for people who are coming late. That's a dishonor. As far as I'm concerned, I honor people who come early. I honor people who come on time. You know what? There are a lot of people that appointments don't mean much to them. That really bothers me. If I miss an appointment. I had a funeral one time. It was during the same time we had a mission conference here. And I was getting ready for one of our early mission conferences. And I had agreed to a funeral at Fort Sam Houston several days before. And I'm over here in a pair of overalls, sweeping and cleaning the church, getting ready for missionaries and guests to come in for a mission conference. And my wife calls me and said, did you forget the funeral? And I did. It hurts me to this day. I have never missed a wedding or a funeral except that one time. But that one time still burns in my mind and bothers me. Now, some of you are not very good at appointments. You just miss appointments and it doesn't make any difference to you. You can just be late. It doesn't bother you at all and whatever. And I guess you can live that way. I can't. I want to talk about an appointment you will keep. What I read in the Bible right here, that's an appointment you're going to keep. You're not going to be late. You're not going to be 5 minutes late, not 30 minutes late, not fashionably late. You can't be the last one to walk in. It says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, you're going to make your date. I recently in the news, on television, we've had a woman that was lost. I don't know whether she'd been found. I haven't heard that she'd been found. Mother of 5, out off a lucky road in 35 South. That brings back a lot of memories to me. I became a pastor of a little Midway Baptist church out on Pearsall Road. I probably hadn't been there a month. I didn't know all the people that were members of the church by that time. And they called on me for a funeral. The funeral director told me it was an old drunk that didn't have any family. Would I preach the funeral? And I was talking to my wife this morning. I think it was the first funeral I ever preached. And I had to go through my mind, okay, what am I going to say? I don't know this man. I don't know his family. I don't know if he's a member of any church. They had no knowledge of this man. And he's going to be buried at what I think is called Black Hill Cemetery on Lucky Road and Pearsall, right out there in the south. They had the place dug, the grave dug, but it was raining cats and dogs. I'm in the mud up to my ankles in a nice suit. I've got a very nice, expensive Bible that's getting very wet. I've got a funeral director and a hearse, and my car's sitting close, and my wife is with me, my young wife. Boy, whew, cat's meow. I told her to stay in the car, and it wasn't since her getting wet. There were six old men about my age right now, 65 to 70 years old. And they're standing there in the rain because this was their friend. I was burying their friend. Thinking about how to preach a funeral, I realized God never called me to preach weddings or funerals. I don't read it anywhere in the Bible. That's not my calling. He called me to preach the gospel. And so I said, that's what I'm going to do. And in the rain, probably with a hat, maybe with an umbrella in one hand, trying to hold the Bible and preach, walking around in mud, I mean, and six old men, I told them, you know, I don't know your friend. I never met him. I have no knowledge of his life whatsoever. I don't know whether he's in heaven or hell. He's in one place or the other, but I don't know which place he's at. You know him. You know where he's at. And I preached the gospel to them. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that they could change their destiny because they were still alive. In that little church in the country, within a year, I baptized almost all of those six men. One man, particularly, it was 7 degrees above zero that morning. I'm not sure what time. I don't think it was above freezing when we had the baptism. He was 69 years old and had a heart attack. I was about 25 or 26 and fighting weight, 225 pounds, man. I was on top of the world. I stepped off into that baptistry and it took my breath. And I looked up at that old man and I just knew I was going to kill him. And I said, do you see how cold this is? You still want to go through this? He said, I've waited too long already. And I put him in the water of that old cold baptistry. That was cold water, boy. That's my coldest baptism. From then on, every time, I used to greet people. We didn't have enough room at the back of that church to be inside a foyer like we have here and greet people or whatever. But I'd be standing outside, and every time that old man came up to go to church, he'd grab my hand and say, brr. He won't forget his baptistry, his baptism. You know, it says right here, it's appointed unto men once to die. You have an appointment with death. You may think you can get away from it. You may think you can get by with it. But I want you to know, my friend, you have an appointment. You say, but I'm just 10 years old. I don't have an appointment. No, my friend. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 15 years old or 17 years old or 70 years old or 75 years old. You still have an appointment with death. And you know, we don't know when we're going to die. Boy, I've buried some young people. I've buried some what looked like perfectly healthy people. But they had an appointment they had to keep. There wasn't any way they could keep from keeping that appointment. And you don't know when your appointment's going to come, but my friend, you have an appointment. It is appointed by God you have to die. You have an appointment with death. A friend in this church used to be a member of the church, regular basis, and we were building that first one over there. He was a pretty good witness. And he went to visit a friend of his, and he had an 18-year-old boy. And the 18-year-old boy was saying, I'm going to sow my wild oats. I am not ready. He witnessed to him one afternoon. Witnessed to him for a good while, and the boy was a smart aleck, and he was, I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to have my fun. I'm not going to be like you, old man. He rode out of there on his motorcycle and hit an 18-wheeler that night and killed him. Do you know what I know? I know he got a real good witness just about an hour before he died. Somebody was trying to warn him that he had an appointment with death. I want you to know, my friend, you have an appointment with death. I don't care who you are. I'm amazed sometimes at smart alecks. And I myself was a smart aleck. I guess some of you think I still am. Maybe there's a whole lot of that still in me. I understand. And you might think sometimes it's just plain arrogance. Well, there's a lot of arrogance in this whole world and a lot of arrogance in a whole lot of us. You know how many people I've talked to, witnessing to, young people maybe, and they tell me, yeah. When I die, we're going to have all the fun because all the good people are going to go where I'm going. Boy, we're going to have a ball down in hell because, they don't believe it. I want to talk to you this morning, about this appointment you have and who it's with. It says, appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Look, if you will, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. I've had some men, young men mainly, but I've had some old men say it too. Yeah, when I get up to God, I'll tell him off. How'd he allow this, and how'd he do that, and what all did he do here and there? And they're going to be real smart with God. Now, let me tell you something. It says in verse 30, the last part of the verse, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Talking about God, right now, commands all men everywhere to repent. You understand what that means? That's you. Don't talk about the guy that's your neighbor down the block from you. Don't talk about that fellow that's in your family. No, I'm talking about you. You're sitting right here listening to me this morning. God commands you to repent. Now look at the next verse. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he had raised him from the dead. Who got raised from the dead? Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. It's an interesting thought. I remember the first time it came to me, it really sort of surprised me. Every time I find God judging in this Bible, it's Jesus Christ. Every case. He's the judge. And when you're going to meet a judge, that's the one you're going to meet. Jesus Christ. It says right here, he hath appointed a day. You have an appointment not only with death, but I want you to know, you have an appointment to be judged by Jesus Christ. Every one of you. If you're saved, you're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. They call it judgment seat of Christ. Every born again child of God is going to walk up and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and account for your life. What you've done, good or bad. How obedient you've been. What kind of a heart you have. What kind of a life you've lived. Oh, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know something? I don't even like to stand before a precinct judge. I don't even like to have a ticket and have to walk into a courthouse and to go into this formal thing where this guy's in black robes and he's got power over me. You know what? He can take away my driver's license. He can cost me money. I don't like going up before judges. Do you like going up before judges? And they're just human beings like me. Not any better than me, probably. May not be as good. They may drive worse than I do. Probably do. If it's possible. But they're the judge, and being the judge, they have the power, they have the authority, they can hurt me. It says, He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. It is the will of God that every single one of you will be judged by Jesus Christ. Now, look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. If you had read the first 9 verses, you would know that the person talking is the Apostle John. John the Apostle, the best friend of Jesus Christ in the 3.5 years He walked this earth. The writer of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, that's who this man is. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Do you remember the last picture you got of Jesus Christ on this earth? He's resurrected. He's been with His friends. He said, put your hand in my hand. Put your hand in my side. He walked in and ate fish with them. He sent them out to preach the gospel and He lifted all up into heaven. That's not the way He looks today. This is the way He looks today. You know what God did for you in the book of Revelation? He gave you a picture of the risen Lord in His glory. In the very best words that man could use to describe it. It's something. He's not just a judge like you or me, just wearing a black robe. He's not just a fellow sitting down, he's been appointed or elected to some little office to take care of minor little old details. No. This right here is the living God. In all His power, in His glory. Now you tell me you're going to tell him, yeah, when I get up there, I'm going to tell the old man. Watch right here. You got a picture. God gave you a picture. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Some of you ladies, that'll help you out. And gird about the paps with a golden girdle. This is no workman. You know where a workman puts his girdle? On his loins. A priest puts his girdle at the paps. This is a priest. Or this is a king. This isn't no common man. This is no carpenter. This is no working man. This is no shepherd. He's a priest. And he's a king. And he's a prophet. And he said his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. He's not bald. He's got a lot of hair. And it's white. Talking about his age. He's ageless. He's eternal. He's been around forever. You and I have been around a little 70 years. It's nothing compared to the time that this person thinks in. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. You ever seen anything like that? That'd scare the daylights out of me. I don't know about you. I believe he's telling you what it is. He said, this is what I saw. I'm writing to you what I saw. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. You ever heard many waters? I know you've been by a stream sometime. You ever listen to Niagara? I could hear Niagara 20 miles away. I heard it 10, 15 miles before I got to it. I could hear the roar of the many waters falling down. He said that's the way his voice was. Been described that way other places in the Word of God. His voice was as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, the Word of God. A sharp two-edged sword. His countenance, his face, was as the sun shining in its strength. Can you look at the sun? Ever tried it? You can't look at it for long. When I looked at his face, it was like the sun shining in his strength. Now, his very best friend for the last 3.5 years of his life was this man here. Look what he said. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And that's what you're going to do. You big old tough guy. You big old tough guy that don't think you want to have anything to do with religion and fancy religious people and softies and whatever, and these people that are afraid of God and believe in God, and you're going to stand up and tell God off. No, you're not. You're going to fall flat on your face in abject terror. When you see this man, and that's him, he's not coming again as a Savior. He's not coming again as a shepherd of the sheep. When Jesus Christ is coming again, and the Bible says He's coming again, He comes as King of kings and Lord of lords, and He rules with a rod of iron, not mercy. You want mercy? Now's the time to get it. You wait till this time? Mercy time is over. It's not time for mercy. He's not going to wait till the great judgment to find out who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. He's not going to wait till this great time to see if your good outweighs your bad. You're very mistaken. You better read your Bible. That's not what it says. I know religion teaches it. I hear it all the time. I was taught it when I was growing up. Good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. It just ain't so. Excuse my English. Ain't's a good word. It's a substitute contraction for am not. You wouldn't say I am't. That's why you say I ain't. It's in the dictionary, dummy. Don't criticize my English. I got a master's in English. I still sound like a hick. I fell at his feet as dead. Let me show you another picture of him. Look over at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. This same great king, this same living God, this same Savior who died and rose from the grave victorious in His glorified state is the judge every time there is a judge. Now we come not just to the judgment seat of Christ, which has already taken place back in the book of Revelation, which is talked about in Corinthians. We come to the great white throne judgment. There's not just one general judgment at the end of time. There are several judgments. There's a judgment of the nations on the earth. There's a judgment of the believers at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven after the rapture. And this is the great white throne judgment when almost all that are there are lost. Might be where you'll be judged. Possibly could be. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John turned to see his face in chapter 1 and fell down dead. Right here,
heaven and earth take a look at his face and just disappear. And all of the inhabitants of heaven and earth and hell and the sea and everything that's in them is standing on absolutely nothing facing this great white throne. That's what it says. Read it. I've been in earthquakes. In Guatemala, we had them all the time. Tremors. I'm telling you, when a great big two-story brick house starts shaking and you can't hardly walk across the floor, you get scared. Nothing quite like when this earth is not solid underneath you. Think what it's going to be when everything you know disappears. And you're hanging out there on nothing. And you're facing that same Lord on that great white throne. Now tell me what you're going to tell him. Give me your smart aleck answer. You're such a smart unbeliever, you're going to be a believer on this day. You're going to be a fundamentalist. Oh yeah, you might laugh at me right now. Yeah, you're just one of those old hicky fundamentalists, believes the Bible. That's what I am. I don't deny it. I'm big and fat and old, but I believe the Bible. Heaven and earth fled away. They fled away. What a day. And you're going to stand up to this God? You're going to give him your excuses for your adultery? You're going to give him your excuses for your drunkenness? You're going to give him excuses for your theft? You're going to give him excuses for your lies? You're going to give him excuses for your unfaithfulness? You're going to give him excuses? You won't have an excuse in your mouth. On this day right here, you're going to be dumbstruck. Awestruck. If John, a writer of 5 books of the Scripture, the best friend for 3.5 years of Jesus Christ, fell at his feet, is dead when he saw him, you're going to be worse. You have an appointment. You won't be late. I don't know when you're going to die, but I know you're going to die. I mean, do you need any more proof? You visit any cemeteries lately? I've been still preaching funerals. That old one on Lucky Road, I think, was my first, but it sure wasn't my last. Sometimes I'm burying people I don't know, and sometimes I'm burying old friends. But we're still burying them right and left. The funeral business is a good business to go into. It never gets out of style. They're always customers. And you're going to be one of them one of these days. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. He's the one that wrote the book. There's another verse. Look, if you will, in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 42. Acts 10, 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. Is that what I'm doing today? Amen. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. That's the living and the dead. My job is to preach to the living and to tell you that Jesus Christ has been ordained of God to be your judge. What else did He say? To Him give all the prophets witness. You ever read the Old Testament? Every one of those prophets is talking about Jesus, looking forward to Him. You ever read the New Testament? All of those apostles are looking back to Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I've got a name to preach. It's Jesus Christ. It's not a name of any church. It's not my name. I can't save anybody. Jesus can. There's a name greater than any other name. It's Jesus. And the Bible says that if you will repent, and it commands you to repent, sit here in your sin, sit here in your pride, you'll go to hell. Acknowledge your pride. Acknowledge your sin. Ask God to forgive your sin. Repent of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, He'll forgive your sins and save your soul and change you forever. It's what He did to me just about 50 years ago. He did it to me. My friend said it won't last. Give you a couple of weeks. They said that about our marriage, too. The young people getting married, what chance they got? 52 years come March. That's what chance we got. Almost 50 years of being saved and preaching the gospel. Hey, it's better now than it was then. I had a lot of fun all the way. Man, I was thinking back about some things that happened to me and what we've done and beautiful places God has just dropped us into. I'm still there. To Him give all the prophets witness. Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. I can't think of a greater gift. I don't know who you are. I don't know whether you think you're so good you don't need a Savior, or whether you think you're so bad nobody could save you. But Jesus includes all of you. And my invitation to you today is, whoever you are, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the message that He gave. Accept Him. Make Him your Lord and your Savior from this day forward. I did that. He saved me. He changed me. Recently on my 70th birthday, they gave me some things. My wife was talking. She gave me something on my 70th birthday. It was a birthday card typed out. And in it there's a statement. She said, how could God change somebody so completely in one day? But He did. She was my high school girlfriend. We dated for 2 years before we married. I got saved 2.5 years after we was married. She knew me, and God changed me. He can do the same for you. Amen. You got to believe. God does not bless need. I'm sorry if you think that's the way it is, but God does not bless need. There are a lot of needy people who don't get blessed from God. God in His Word, throughout His Word, blesses faith. I don't know why. But I didn't write the book. But I know how to read it. You need to believe. You need to trust God's Word. You need to trust what was said this morning. You need to trust that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. And that He can save your soul and change your life. And if you do, He will save you. And He will change you. And you can do it today. In fact, the Bible tells you now is the accepted time. I've used this illustration before. Some of you don't like it, and I can understand why, but there's a restaurant I know that has a sign that says, free beer tomorrow. It's written on the wall. Free beer tomorrow. Has anybody ever got a free glass of beer? No. Because when you show up tomorrow, it's today. And the sign still says, free beer tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. It doesn't come. You're going to get saved. You're going to get saved today. You're going to get changed. You're going to get changed today. You're going to repent. You're going to repent today. You're going to accept Christ. You're going to do it today. Right now is accepted time. I wish I could guarantee you, said, you got a long time to live. I hear people say once in a while, I'll be there for you always. Will you? Will you really? We make some statements that are just absolutely crazy. We're not thinking about God when we make them. We're not thinking about life. Oh, my friend, today is the day of salvation. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. We're not all heading the same direction. That's not what that Bible says. You better read it. Better read it again. We're not all headed the same direction. There are two directions. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And what you do with Jesus Christ is the sole determining factor of where you go. We're going to sing number 249. If you're here and the Lord has spoken to your heart, the Holy Spirit, I can't do that. I can preach to you, but it takes the Holy Spirit to reach inside, touch your mind, touch your heart, bring conviction of sin, bring your conviction of need of a Savior. If that's the way you feel today, you know you need a Savior, and the Lord's let you know that, don't sit in your seat and walk out the door without Jesus Christ. You don't know that God will ever invite you again. You do not have a guarantee that you'll have a tomorrow. Today is the day I'm preaching. Today is my appointment to preach to you. Today is your appointment to respond to God. Let's sing it.